Praise the Lord. Let's turn in our Bibles to Acts, the first chapter of Acts. Where we're going to read is verse 10, starting with verse 10 of chapter 1. While they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men. Well, I guess we got to go back another verse. Go to verse 9. Sorry about that. When he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. In Hebrews 12:1, it calls this group the cloud of witnesses, the cloud of witnesses. So he went up into heaven, praise the Lord, and the cloud, the witnesses, received him out of their sight. In verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, you men of Galilee, why stand you gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So there's some wonderful truth there. When Jesus died on the cross and he was raised from the grave, he then went up into heaven. And the Lord just took him away, up into heaven in a cloud of witnesses, the scripture calls him. And it says in Revelation 1:7 that when he comes back again, he's going to come in a cloud. So what are those clouds? What are they talking about? Is that just a natural cloud, one of those things God created? I believe that there are the people of God coming with him. All right. And so notice that verse 11. It says, why are you gazing up into heaven? Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. And then if we go over to the book of Revelation, which we've been studying in, let's turn to the book of Revelation. Chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he cometh quickly with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Now, this coming that is spoken of here in chapter 1, verse 7, is actually the coming of Christ at the end of the tribulation. When the judgment has already fallen on all the world, all of the different judgments that we've read in the book of Revelation have fallen. And then all the people of God will be there in the heavens with the Lord by that time. The ones that are born again, the ones that are walking with God, yielding God, they'll be there in the heavens, and they will come back with him. That will be the cloud. Okay? Praise the Lord. The word says that he'll come in like manner as you've seen him go into heaven. That was AD 33. That's a long time ago. No, we say 2,000 years. If you take AD 33, you have to go by a Jewish calendar, but I went by the regular one, and it was 1,989 days. Isn't that interesting? Not year, no, days, year, years. 1,989 years ago that Jesus came, that he went back to heaven. I'll say it right in a minute. So I looked at that, and I thought, it's not very long from now until it hits 2,000. We don't know when Jesus is going to come back, but we know he's coming. Yes. All right. So the Bible says Jesus' words in Matthew 25:13. He says, watch, therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. What does it mean to watch? I think all of us know that if you are a watchman somewhere in a business, you are supposed to stay awake, you're supposed to be active, know what's happening in case there's something takes place. This word watch means to keep awake, So that's what the Lord wants from us. He wants us to be watching and waiting for the coming of the Lord and staying awake, because we find in the scripture that the world will lull us to sleep. Even believers will be lulled in their sleep in the natural. Doesn't mean they're not saved. It's mean that they're just not watchful, not being watchful. In verse 1, there in that scripture, it says, much people and all the saved people will exalt him and praise him. So let's turn to the 19th chapter, which we are studying now. The 19th chapter of Revelation. There's so much to this chapter that we're not going to be able to cover the whole thing today, but we're going to cover part of it that we can. All right, so but in the very first verse, I want you to understand that in this chapter, we are looking into heaven after the tribulation, after all of the people of God have come to heaven. Isn't that a beautiful thing? All the people who know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, those who have made it into the company that will be the bride of Christ, those that will be in the servant company, all of those, all of them will be here in heaven at this time. And we've already had in our text where 14th chapter, the 144,000 Jews that were following the Lord, that so such witnesses during the tribulation, they're already there in heaven, you know. They're not right now, but in the scripture, this at this point in time, they would be there. So let's read verse 1. And after these things, see, after all of the judgments and things that we've already read about, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. Can you just feature that? Can you imagine that? We're all there in heaven with all the people that have been saved. Now, from the church age, way back there, the time of Jesus, clear on to this age, all everybody is praising the Lord and worshiping. Not only those, the Old Testament believers who are gone on to be with the Lord, you know. Abraham, Noah, Adam. No, Adam sinned, but Adam was doing what God wanted him to do there afterward. God showed him how to offer animals, evidently. Praise the Lord. All those people there just praising the Lord. We can't imagine the sound. We can't imagine how loud that would be for all. We can make a little storm here, you know, when we praise the Lord. But there, imagine, with every believer that's ever been born again in Old and New Testament, praising and worshiping the Lord one time. That's a beautiful thought, isn't it? And they're saying, hallelujah, salvation, see? That's what it's all about, being born again, knowing Jesus as our Savior. In the Old Testament, they look forward to that. And glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments. They're not, you know, there's funny things that people picture in their mind. I've heard ministers say this, that, you know, we're going to go up there and then God's going to pounce on us with how many bad things we did, and how he'll tell all good things we did. And, you know, that's just not the case. When we get to heaven, we are going to exalt the Lord. We are going to praise him and worship him. We're going to say, righteous is all of his judgments. We're not going to have anything to say back. You know, talk back. Never liked talk back when I was correcting my kids. Did you? All right, so notice this verse says, he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. This is speaking of the false church that has dominated people, has, through many centuries, has we already had this in chapter 17 and 18. And the people in heaven will rejoice that all of that is set aside. The church, the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is made up of all believers who believe in Jesus Christ, who accept him as their Savior, whether Old Testament or New Testament. And there in the Old Testament, looking forward, following God, looking forward to the time of Jesus' death. Praise the Lord. It isn't what denomination we belong to. We don't have a denomination. We're not a denomination. We are a group of believers that are loving and looking forward to the time of Jesus coming back. Praise the Lord. So notice in verse 3, again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. Now we're going to go into the people that are here in heaven. The 24 elders and the 4 living creatures, the word beast should, as I've told you before, should read living creatures, fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. We see several groups of people here that are around the throne, in and around the throne. And we have already had the studies in the Bible about when we were studying the churches of Asia. We had the church of Smyrna. They were believers who died, and no doubt many of them martyrs for Christ. They had nothing bad said about them because they were overcomers. They were walking with God. Then we had in chapter 3, we had the church of Philadelphia, which is another instance. These people were alive and yielding their lives to God, but the Lord told them that he was going to come back and he was going to take them. He was going to reward them. He said, Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. I will keep you from the hour of tribulation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell on the earth. Do you have faith for that, that the Lord will keep you from going into that 7 years? The tribulation is 7 years of judgment of God upon this earth. Do you have faith that God is going to keep you from that hour of tribulation? It's a beautiful thing to know the Lord, to love the Lord Jesus Christ, and be ready for the coming of Jesus when he comes back again, takes his people away. So the first group that we see here, 24 elders and the 4 living creatures, a lot of people get really mixed up on those, and we've talked about them a lot here, but I really feel like that we need to go back in our Bible. Let's go back in Revelation to chapter 5. In chapter 4, these elders, these 24 elders and these living creatures, let's look where it says, verse 2, this is John, and as the Spirit was moving on him, immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. This was the Lord Jesus Christ sitting on this throne. He that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. So if you wonder what it will be like to see Jesus on his throne, that's an illustration of that. Around about the throne were 24 thrones. The word seats in our King James is actually thrones. Upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. They had on their head crowns of gold. All right. Now, a lot of people, I heard a man on television, a lot of people love to hear him, but he doesn't teach the Word of God, and he said, well, I don't know what these 24 elders are, but they're going to be in heaven there somewhere. We don't know if they're angels or what they are. You don't have to be ignorant like that. Chapter 5, let's look over there in chapter 5 of Revelation. Let's read verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 living creatures and the midst of the elders stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon it, upon the throne. When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps, golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain, and you have redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. So who are the 24 elders and the living creatures? They are believers in Christ that are born again, who have been saved, redeemed by the Lord out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. They are people who are in heaven. They're seen in heaven first. They're there at the throne with Jesus as he takes his throne. Notice what he says in verse 10. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. The word should be over there. You know, sometimes they put in the wrong word, but if you look it up in the Hebrew and in the Greek, it says over the earth. Praise the Lord. So back to our chapter in chapter 19. It's interesting to me that we see them here in heaven called the 24 elders and the four living creatures. And then that's pretty much all we hear about them in that name. Later, they're going to be called bride, the bride of Christ. That seems foreign to you if you haven't heard that before. That's what the Bible teaches, is that a group of people are going to be the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. That means loving Jesus for this life. What does it mean? Those who love Jesus preeminently. We love him. We should love him more than anything in our life. Anything in our life. Anything that is closer to us than the Lord Jesus is just not really pleasing to the Lord. He wants us to love him preeminently. And so look at your scripture now in chapter 19 of Revelation. And notice there in that verse 4 again, you can reference this in chapter 4 and verse 5, and chapter 5 of Revelation, that they are there with the Lord when he has his throne. The 24 elders, the four living creatures, fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And we know who the servants are, too. The people that are the four living creatures and the 24 elders, we know that they are going to be later in that group, the bride of Christ. But this group that are called servants are what we call the second group or the second rank in the church. And we find them over in chapter 7 first of Revelation. Let's look there. It's going to take us a little while to get through this chapter. So let's just look at chapter 7. And this is now, we've seen in the book of Revelation in chapter 4, we saw the overcomers in heaven. Okay, that's settled, isn't it, for everybody? Okay, now here's another group in chapter 7, verse 9. And this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, and people, and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sits upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And the angels stood around about the throne, and about the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell before the throne and on their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered and said unto me, see, speaking to John, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said to him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, one version, which I believe is more accurate, instead of it saying out of great tribulation, it says out of the tribulation. We believe, according to the scripture, and you've seen our little chart that shows the different groups of people going to heaven, this group comes up to heaven at a later time than we've already seen, those who are fully yielded to God coming up to heaven in chapter 4. This is chapter 7, and they're coming out of great tribulation. They've been, or again, I quoted that, but the tribulation. The first few years of that tribulation time are not going to be as hard as the last part, but they will be brought up to the Lord before the middle of the tribulation. We believe that there are scriptures that pertain to this. It's a good Bible study to know what you're thinking of, what you're supposed to be thinking of. The book of Daniel tells us different numbers, and as we work with those numbers, we know that it's going to be about 150 days after the overcoming Christians that are walking with God and are being ready to be the bride of Christ for eternity. This will be about 150 days after that, that this group will go to heaven. That's where they see them. That we've read there, right there in that text, that those elders and those four living creatures are right there watching them come up to the heavens, right? And then notice what he says in verse 15. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and they serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them into ever living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away the tears of their eyes. So they've gone through some trials by being here for that first part of the tribulation. It's going to be hard. Old Antichrist is going to be on the scene. He's not going to be the dominant one, but he's already moving around and doing different kinds of things. So back to the chapter 19 of Revelation. Okay, we saw there in verse 5, a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants. What was the group called back in chapter 7? The servants of the Lord. Do you know that? I love this because I know heaven's going to be wonderful. Heaven is going to be a happy place. We want the best that God has for us. He has offered for us to be in that best group that's going to rule and reign with him. But people of God, if we're not in that other group, in heaven there are going to not be any tears or, you know, we've had people say, oh, they're going to stand there before the judgment seat of Christ and weep and cry for all the things they did. No, you're not going to do that. The Lord's going to bring that second group of believers up there to his presence, and they're going to be so blessed and so they'll become the servants of the Lord up there. But they're just going to be really... That doesn't mean I'm not telling you by this. So just go ahead and be in the second group. I'm not telling you that. I'm saying that you can, the scripture Paul says, run to win. You can run to win. Yield your life to God now and be ready for the coming of Jesus. Be ready for this first coming. So notice there again in our text. And I heard as it were, now he said, the servants, as you fear him, both small and great, the Lord is telling them to praise God. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude. Now that was what they were called in chapter 7. They were called this great company. And as the voice of many waters and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. See, they're going to be full of praise to the Lord, exalting him and praising him. And like I said, I used to have a song that we sang way back. I remember my mother and my sister, they sang duets a lot. No tears in heaven, no sorrows given. All will be joyous in that land. That's what it is. That's what heaven is about. Oh, aren't we glad we know what heaven is about? Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Notice that this group, we're just going to read one more verse because we go into another part of the subject, but go to verse 7. Let us be glad. Now, who is this talking, saying, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his wife hath made herself ready? It's that group of people that we saw there in verse 6, the great multitude that will come up to heaven. That great multitude of people, they're the servants, and they're going to be crying out to be glad and rejoice, be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him. To him who? Jesus Christ. Give honor to Jesus Christ for the marriage of the Lamb. He's called the Lamb, isn't he? Is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Praise the Lord. The wife is what we see in other parts of the scripture, the bride of Christ, and we will make ourselves ready. That doesn't mean it's self-effort either. That doesn't mean, you know, well, I'm going to get up this morning and I'm going to be really good. I'm not going to tell any lies today. You know, I'm going to be really kind to people and everything like that. And God's going to love me more because of that. That isn't what it's about at all. It's just giving him ourselves, letting him govern us, let him speak to us. When we hear the voice in our head, but we also hear the voice from the scripture, from the teachings of the Word of God, that we say, that's for me. That's for me. I want to be in that company that's going to be right there on the throne beside the Lord Jesus Christ and be so greatly blessed. But it's not just for that reason, not just so I can get blessed, right? I hope not. Not so I get blessed, it's so that the Lord has what he came to have. He came so that he could have a bride. When he came and died on the cross, he was so persecuted. But through that death, many have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Many now have been filled with the Holy Spirit and love the Lord and want to follow the Lord and be pleasing to him and his will. Hallelujah.